blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 289, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. And let hearts rejoice and that seek the Lord, his holy name adore. Seek ye Jehovah and his strength. Seek him forevermore. 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 289.
us next may confession with the words of the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Acts of the Apostles and thereof chapter 2, beginning at verse 22 until the end. Acts 2, beginning at verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Thus far. Let us next read together the form for the administration of holy baptism, which you can find in the back of your psalters on page 126. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonished to loathe and humble ourselves before God, and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal, an undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, for as they are, without their knowledge, partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ. As God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17, verse 7. This also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2, verse 39. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Mark 10, verse 16. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion.
That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O almighty and eternal God, thou who hast, according to thy severe judgment, punish the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast according to thy great mercy saved and protected believing Noah and his family. And thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee, and that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children, and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son Jesus Christ, and that they may be buried with him into his death, and be raised with him in newness of life, and that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love. That they may with a comfortable sense of thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. I now request the parents who wish to have their children baptized to please arise and answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition. That it may then be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of his church, ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to the years of discretion whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Father and Mother Kashahalwa? Father and Mother Van Driesten. Dear parents, we read here, we have heard out of God's word, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So that is added unto whom? That was added unto the apostles. There was 11 apostles. But of course, there were more, because we read here also, in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were 120, with women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And they were all gathered in that upper room, in prayer, we read, and in supplication, a representative part of the true church in those days, the beginning of the Christian church. And it was not just those 120, but there were more of God's people that were in that city of Jerusalem. What kind of a church was it? It was an afflicted church. That was a persecuted church. That was not by the world, not yet at that time, but from the inception, the beginning of that church, they were persecuted from the religious world. And so here we have, there were added unto them, when that religious world, we know of Saul of Tarsus, the religious world would like to annihilate that church. They would like to see everyone scattered. They would like to see everyone disbanded. And now here we read there were added unto them. So that was not just a small number of people, but it says here a great number of people, 3,000 souls, when there was just 120, and others, of course, scattered there through Jerusalem. So what is that a testimony of? Well, there is a battle going on. There is a warfare going on. And who is going to win that warfare? It is the Spirit of God. Thus the Spirit of God was mightier and showed itself to be mightier in that day than everyone who could lay and desired to lay his hand against that true church of God. And now that is the same power that we need today and that we need also for the sake of our children. Today your children are received as members of the Church of Fort McLeod and the Netherlands Reformed Congregations. But the Lord does not say in his word that whosoever is baptized shall be saved. No, it says, whosoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Thus, that baptism is not going to save our children. What do we need? What do they need? They need faith. That is that true saving faith. And you say, where do we get it from? And where will they get it from? Because the devil has not laid down his weapons. And the devil is seeking and increasing in his ways to to get, to keep our children and to prevent the adding of souls unto his true church. And he is using devices for that. He whispers in your heart. Maybe he has whispered that sometimes in your heart. And what does he say of the true servants of God? He says, these are men that are full of new wine. Of his true servants. Devil ever say that in your heart? That is what he uses to discredit the truth. And he is attempting now to do that also in your children, when they will sit under that truth, and then the devil will say, ah, that is just, he is full of new wine. He does not know what he is saying. Oh, and now here on the day of Pentecost, then the Lord shows that the Spirit of God is stronger than the devil. And that is written in the Word of God to give you hope, because you have made a promise. And with in the faithfulness, if you will be faithful to that promise, it will not be enough. It will not be enough in and of itself, because you cannot convert your child. You cannot take him from that grip of the devil. But now we hear in this day about the power of that Spirit of God. He is God. Not only the Son is God, but also that Spirit is God. And thus, it is not in our doings, no, but it is in that promise. You have made a promise, but we heard the promise of the Lord to those who will walk before him in truth. Then the Lord also makes a promise. And we hope that the Lord may give to you faithfulness, and that the Lord may give to you desire, spiritual desires with your children, and that you may live to see the blessing that the Lord may give upon his word and upon his sacrament. So be it. Congregation, we ask you to sing while the children are brought in from Psalter 49, the third stanza. 49, stanza 3. Both rich and poor, both bond and free, shall worship him with bended knee. The third stanza of Psalter 49, and after baptism, that you would stand and sing as Psalter 425, stanza 5.
Thank you.
Jace Aberdeenis Natangwa, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Kiera Noel, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask for a blessing upon this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise thee and that thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And received us through thy Holy Spirit as members of thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech thee, through the same Son of thy love, that thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by thy Holy Spirit, and that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they then may acknowledge thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally and praise and magnify thee and thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Grant these parents that spirit of Pentecost, that they may be endued with power from on high, Oh, that they may be given wisdom, and that they may be given faithfulness, and that they may be given strength, and that they may be given a desire. Draw their souls continually, each and every day. And when they are before their children as an example, and when they must speak unto their children of the things that are contained in that holy word of God, remember also the grandparents. Thou knowest the place of each one of them, or some of them far away. And Lord, that thou may be also with them in all of their cares, or that thou may draw also in the needs. Also, we think of her that is a widow in the midst of us continually. O Lord, that thou may watch over each of them as thou alone can do, and give gladness when it may be seen or known that these children are coming under the outward form of that covenant. Oh, that there may be prayer also on their behalf. Oh, that thou may look upon those who have no children. Lord, thou knowest their place also in this day. Oh, could it please thee to hear the cries of such and the desires of such which are so natural in the midst of this world, that thou may grant them their desires. And if it pleaseth thee not to do so, oh, that thou may give them that blessed submission to thy holy will. Do remember our own granddaughter, where she is in the hospital at this time, and that father and mother, our children, oh Lord, be near to them in this day. And could it please thee to spare the life of that child, and may it be to work mightily in all of them together. Help in the week that is before them, with unknown decisions that might need to be made. Give the doctors wisdom, Lord. And oh, that thou would stand on the right and on the left, when all man's power and knowledge comes increasingly to an end. O Lord, wilt thou teach us all from above, and give us to look inward upon ourselves, that the cause be not in us, and that we might turn from our sin. Remember all the afflicted. Thou knowest the sick. Remember the child that is in the Calgary Hospital. Oh, care for her also in this week, in the testing that needs to be done. Be near to her in the fears of her young heart. Oh, Lord, that she might learn that tender fear of thy name, that thou would be near unto her soul, and that she may be given the knowledge of it. Wilt thou help the doctors in that case, and the others also that receive treatments? O Lord, thou knowest each and every one of their places. We lay before thee in a special way the children of the congregation, the youth of the congregation. O Lord, they have a baptized forehead. They may witness in this afternoon what that means. O give them that fear of thee, or that they may go home this day as saying, Lord, I have the name of the triune God upon my forehead, and I cannot die in that way that I have been born. I've been given so many privileges in my young life. O Lord, for the blessing that comes from above, O give them, Lord, even as a Samuel of old, to dwell in thy temple with desire and with longings. And may it be with speakings from heaven unto our children. O, we lay before thee, Lord, in a special way our school also, in the time in which we are, in the need in which there is, for instructors, because these parents have given an oath to instruct their children, O Lord, or to cause them to be instructed. And then they also gather together as parents to have our own school. But then there are not enough instructors. Lord, thou knowest the circumstances, and thou hast provided for us for so many years. Oh, must we now leave them to be instructed by others in this world? Oh, Lord, we beseech thee, who art able to come to our aid and to supply when man cannot supply anymore. Oh, could it please thee, thou who dost command the parents to also aid the parents and to give those men, those women that are necessary. Oh, Lord, wilt thou gladden us with thy deeds in the time that is to come above all that we can ask or think. Oh, thou hast brought us, Lord, to an end truly. Oh, could it be that thou would arise now, and that thou would do for us what we cannot do. Look upon us in this afternoon. Help us to bring a little word. Be thou our instructor by thy Spirit's power. Oh, bring it in our heart, Lord. Take away what can be in the way, in preaching and in listening. And deal not with us as we so justly deserve. Forgive our sins. In the name of thy dear and most beloved and only begotten Son, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we ask it in his name alone. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 421, stanzas 3 and 4. Blessed is the man whose strength thou art. Thy ways are hidden in his heart. He treads the highway to thy dwelling. And what follows? 3 and 4 of 421. congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in the portion that was read to you, Acts 2, and thereof the first part of the 41st verse. Acts 2, verse 41, the first part. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. So far the words of our text. The glad reception of the word. First, the word concerning repentance. And second, the word concerning baptism. The glad reception of the word. First, the word concerning repentance. And second, the word concerning baptism. Our text congregation is about the receiving, the reception of the word. Whose word? That you say is the apostles' word. And in a specific way, that is here Peter's word. What does it mean to receive his word? That is to agree to the word. That is to accept that word, that is to acquiesce in that word, that is to submit to that word. Did you ever receive the word of another man, of another person? You say, I have. Because there have been many times that we have sat together and we have spoken together and conversed with one another about something in order to convince one another. And indeed, I know what that is, to receive and even wholeheartedly the words of another person. And how did you receive them? Why did you receive them? Well, you say, because his words made sense. Because it made sense. That is, in my mind, it was rational, and it seemed to me to be true, and therefore I received them. Thus our text says, they received his word. Is that the same? Is that the same as, for example, Laban received the proposal of Jacob, how that he would remain to feed his flocks? Is that the same as we read here? They received his word. Is that the same as when Mephibosheth did acquiesce, did submit, did receive the word of David that he and Ziba should divide the land, so he submitted to it. There are many, many words in this world of one another that are received by one another, and that is a good thing. Because we cannot live in a society together if there is not cooperation with one another. A congregation, there are also many words of one another that are not received by one another. Rehoboam's words were not received. My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. No, that was not received. That was not acquiesced in. That was not submitted to by the people that he ruled over. Lot spoke to his sons-in-law. Up, he says, get you out of this place. But his words were not received. They did not agree with the truth of it. It seemed like he was one that mocked to them. And so there are many words, Joshua's words, Caleb's words to the children of Israel, different than the other spies. Oh, they are words that were not received. It is not always easy to convince people, is it? Fathers, mothers, when your children are 13, 14, 17, 18, you say, yeah. It is not always so easy to convince my child to receive my words. Teachers, it is not always so easy to convince someone to take over, to receive your words. Do you think a minister, when a minister speaks, that people just receive his words, that he is able to convince people? Do his words have any more power than anyone else's words to convince? The Apostle Paul, he said, just let me speak to the people. And then he spoke to them off of the stairs. And he come to a certain place, and then the people said, away with this man. It's not fit that he should live. They did not receive his words. What was it in Paul's words that were not true? It was all true. And yet that people did not receive them. You say, but they did not know whether those words were true or not. How can you blame them? Ah, that may be. That may be. But did they care? Did that bother them that they did not know the truth of those words? Or were they then saying like the Bereans that we must compare those words with the truth? Were they seeking to know what the truth of those words were? You say, no, they were not. They were not at all. They didn't care. They didn't want to receive those words. Thus, it is not only our intellect that is involved in receiving the words of other people, but it is also our desires, it is also our will that is included. That's what it means to receive words. Then you receive them not only in your mind, but you receive them with your heart. You receive them with your whole being. Then they that gladly received his word. So what is that word that the Apostle Peter is here speaking? That is not just his own word. No, you say that is God's word. That is the scriptures. He is speaking the words of the prophets. He spoke the words of Joel the prophet. He spoke the words of David the prophet unto the people. Thus, if a man speaks the word of God unto a people, do that people then receive that word? Noah preached 120 years. And that word of God preached by Noah with that ark a building was not received by them. The Lord Jesus himself preached for 3 years. And many people followed him. And then he said something that was offensive. And then you read, then there were disciples, many of them. They said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? And then we read, from that time forth, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Congregation, how long have you heard the word of God? Have you received it? That's what it says here. They received his word. Have you received it? Unbelief does not receive that word of God at all. It rejects that word of God. and mocks at it inside. It says these men are full of new wine. That was unbelief in the midst of this multitude of people. That unbelief is willfully blind. It is dismissing evidence that is right before their eyes. What no person in the whole world can produce was set before the eyes of this multitude. Very evidently divine. And yet they do not receive it. That unbelief will be met with the judgment of God. That unbelief is a wicked unbelief. Later on, the Apostle Paul said to the Jewish people at Antioch who were contradicting and blaspheming, he says, it was necessary that the word of God should first be preached unto you. But seeing you have made yourselves unworthy of it and judged yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, he says, lo, we go unto the Gentiles. That is congregation, a severe judgment. A very severe judgment. When that word of God is taken away from a congregation. And when that congregation does not want to receive that word of God, and the Lord is withdrawing the candlestick out of that place. Then they that gladly received his word. Historical faith does receive that word of God. Historical faith is better than a stubborn refusal to believe that word of God. Also, historical faith is met with the approval of God, at least in an outward way. But congregation, it is not enough. Thus, in our text, is this receiving that our text is speaking about, that they received his word, is this receiving in our text the receiving of historical faith? What do you think, young people? You will say, I think no. How do you know? Well, because there is another word here. It says, they that gladly received his word. That is, that they received it with joy. So, historical faith has no joy. No joy. It has no sorrow. It has no affection. There is, the soul is not affected at all by historical faith. It is something that is purely intellectual. It is received in an intellectual way, the same that it is receiving all the other truths that come to the mind, that come to the intellect, and they say, that is reasonable. That makes sense. That must be true, and thus that historical faith receives that word. But there is no affection. Nothing. That is very sad. Congregation, we want to stop here for just a moment. Why do we want to stop here a moment? I think you know why. Because we can preach about other people, but what about ourselves? And thus, how is it with us? How many of us? Because I think that you all have this historical faith, and in your mind you have been brought up, and you have thought about it, and you have received it, and you have done done confession of faith and you have baptized your children and you say because there is nothing unreasonable about it. No, because it is perfectly reasonable and it is not contradictory at all. It all makes very good sense to me. And so you have received that truth. But no affection. I don't say you have no affection at all. I don't say you have no sorrow in your life. You have no gladness in your life. But no affection that is proceeding out of the Word of God. No affection that is concerned with that Word of God. Never in your life have you been affected by reading that Word, by singing that Word, by hearing that Word. God says, turn. And there's nothing that draws. God says, thou shalt surely die. You are not afraid. Go to sleep the same the next night. The Lord says, the promise is unto you and to your children. There is no encouragement. There is no hope. Oh, here it says, then they that gladly received his word. If we miss those affections, then you understand that we miss really everything, don't we? We miss the most essential blessings from that Spirit of God. I don't say that you don't benefit from historical faith, because we do. Because the Word of God keeps a man. And that is a great blessing if the Lord makes boundaries and we are given by education to remain in the way of the Lord and to walk in the way of the Lord also in an outward way. But now we miss the most essential blessings. We miss what we cannot miss on our journey to eternity. Then they that gladly received his word. Ah, you say, I have received the word with gladness. Have you? In your life? That is good. That is a blessing. You know what you have then? You have then a mark. You have then a mark that is a mark that belongs unto that true church of God. But it is not a mark that is sure in and of itself and all by itself. Why not? Because there is also what the Lord shows in his word is a temporary faith. Thus the Lord Jesus has spoken about this. That is like that seed that is falling on that stony ground. And that is enduring for a little while. And it is not lasting. You say that people had that mark. They came up. And there was a joy. They received that word, it says, immediately. Immediately, with gladness, Christ says. But it was not enough. No, he says, because there was no root, that this has withered away. So endured only for a time. Thus, that gladness is not in and of itself, by itself, that is not a sure mark. Because the Lord is going to try it. The Lord is going to bring it through the fire. And also those who know something of gladness, of sorrow, of affection, they will be brought through that fire. It will be a trial, a tribulation, we read in God's word, for the word's sake. Not all trials. We all have trials. But for the word's sake. What is your trial? And in an external way, in an internal way, is that now for the word's sake, then they that gladly received his word. So what was now that word that was gladly received? That consists essentially of two things. What did he say? Repent, he says, and be baptized. So what does it mean to repent? To repent, that is to change your mind. And because you change your mind, then also there is a change in your actions, in your doings. That is to abhor yourself. For the way that you have thought. And for the way that you have lived. And to change, to turn away from your iniquity. That is with your body, that is with your soul. Did you ever repent? Oh, did you ever hear it preached? Repent. And when that was preached, repent. Then did your heart receive that word, repent? Did your heart ever receive that word with gladness? With gladness. You say, how can that be? I thought if the Lord would convert a person and turn a person, he will not be glad, but he will be sad. He will mourn. He will be sorrowful for all his sin. That is true. And at the same time, there is gladness. You say, how can that be? Well, we read in the Bible that they sang and that they cried at the same time. Oh, that is with the true church. That is a mystery. How that same word can give sorrow in our heart and it can give gladness in our heart also. So what is now that gladness that is in the heart of one who is affected by that Holy Spirit of the Lord when the Lord says in his word, repent. What is that that is making that people in their heart glad? Ah, they are glad, congregation, with a prospect. A prospect. A prospect that it could change in their life. Repent? Do you mean to say that there is hope? Do you mean to say that there is a possibility that something would change in my life? Oh, thus it is even in that thought, in that word itself, there is contained in that idea, in that concept, hope. And that soul, in the wretchedness of his heart, in the misery of his life, oh, he is looking for the smallest thing, the smallest thing. Our congregation, when it comes to an end, then you're looking for just the smallest thing. And then even now with that word, repent. Ah, then there is in the heart of that people hope. And with that hope, there comes gladness in their heart. You know what that is? You know what that is? Then they that gladly received his word. What is this multitude exhorted to repent of? What did Peter accuse them of? Accused them of murder. He accused them of slaying whom ye have taken by wicked hands, have crucified and slain. Not just any man, but Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. Thus he has accused them of murder. But not only of murder, but he has accused them also of rejection. That is rejection of the Messiah who was sent into the world by the Father, that was prophesied of by the prophets. And thus he has said, him whom God had sent to deliver you from all your iniquities and from all your transgressions, you have crucified and slain. Thus Peter says, you have not only sinned against the law to murder a man, but you have also sinned against the gospel. When the Lord has sent a man to deliver you, and you did not receive this deliverance from the hand of God. Oh, now this accusation that is coming against this multitude by the power of that Spirit like an arrow. It enters into their heart. They are convinced of it. Oh, are you ever convinced of it? Did the Lord ever show you that you have crucified the Son of God? So how have I crucified him? Congregation, must you not say that he is to us as one who has no form, who has no comeliness? And when we would see him, there is no desire in our heart for him. You know what that is? That is to reject. That is to crucify him. Then we have done the same thing as that Jewish people. Oh, our lack of need for this crucified Savior is a crucifying of him, the apostle says, afresh, that is over and over and over again. Are you ever affected by it? Ever sorrow, grief, but also gladness in the prospect that maybe there could be a change yet in my life? Let us sing 365. From the depths, my prayer ascendeth unto God on high. Hear, O Lord, my supplication and my cry. 1-4 of 365. the glad reception of the word. First, the word concerning repentance. Second, the word concerning baptism. Then they gladly received his word. Congregation, there are people, and I think they are in our midst too. They are coming up to the church for many years, gladly receiving that word of God. And when that word of God, and then there are things also that are against themselves, and still, then they are so ready to receive that word of God. They are glad to come up to that house of God. They are glad to hear that word of God. Oh, they are a willing people in the day of the Lord's power. And they are ready just to receive everything. Ah, they just say, Lord, what wilt thou have me now to do? They want to receive that word of God. And yet, they miss the solution in their life for their own case. Do they hope? Ah, yes, they do hope. Because if there was no hope, they would despair. But the Lord keeps his people always from that complete despair. What is their hope? That hope is general. That hope is in God, but it is not specific. There is no distinction yet between the persons of that Holy Trinity. They are like Ruth. When she comes just to that border of Israel, and then there is a choice. It is a good choice. That is a choice that is worked by that Holy Spirit of the Lord. It is a hope in God. It is a hope in the God of Israel. Oh, thy people, my people, thy God, my God. But now how? How? She doesn't know anything about that yet. It is not specific. She does not yet know about Boaz. She does not know the way. She does not have a solution that is for her own life. Peter speaks here to the multitude that is crying out of guilt, crying out for their sin. They don't know how to get rid of it. It is a people who are under conviction. It is a blessed thing to preach to a people who are under conviction. That is a very blessed thing to do. And why? Well, do you know that whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation is all for that people? It's all for that people. They don't see it. They see so very little. They only see themselves. But really it is all for them. What does Peter say here to this people? He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Congregation, what sin is greater than the sin of this people whom the apostle is preaching unto? What sin? Who are accused of rejecting the Savior that God had sent into the world, that is actually the epitome of sin, and that people felt it. They felt it by the power of that Spirit. They were crying out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Above all the people in the world, what shall we do? Who have sinned such a sin against God? Oh, if there is ever a people in the world that are ripe for an eternal condemnation, then they say, that is we. Above every heathen nation, above every Gentile people, oh men and brethren, what shall we do? Did you ever feel like that? Did the Spirit of the Lord ever make you like that? Or did he ever put that in your heart that you say, I am worse than every person that is in the whole world? That you felt so genuinely like the Apostle Paul. He says, I am the chief. He was a religious man, but all his religion had to go overboard. Oh, congregation, did the Spirit of the Lord, because we do not feel that way of ourselves. No, we point the finger always to everyone else. But when the Spirit of the Lord is coming, oh, he is giving us affection. He is working to make a man feel that he might know, and he is bringing home to him his own sin. And he does not know, as this people did not know, how that they could be delivered from their sin greater than every man that was in the whole world. Oh, did the Lord ever give you to see the solution for your soul? Did the Lord ever give you to hear that from the servants of the Lord? Did he ever give you to read it in his word? Oh, that you may also be glad with that. Not only that possibility in the way of repentance in a general way, no. But what is taking place here in that day of Pentecost, oh, Peter is showing unto the people the way. And when the Lord has given them to know what their wretchedness and what their sin is, oh, when they may be glad even with the opportunity, the possibility in the way of repentance, oh, then Peter is showing unto them, oh, what Christ says, that I am the way, I am the truth, and that I am that life. Oh, were you ever given to feel gladness with this congregation because what is happening here? Oh, here is made not just little sinners, no. Here is made big sinners. Here is made chief of sinners. And here when the chief of sinners are made by that Spirit of the Lord, oh, then Peter is preaching the might and the power of that Savior. Oh, then what is now coming in this day? We read, this word that was gladly received by that people. That means it was received with gladness. It was received with great joy in their souls. Oh, do you know of that? Do you know of that? When that name that is given above every name and that was preached to you. Oh, and that under your conviction you may be so glad in your soul. Ah, then we did not sit there anymore like we have sat there under the preaching of that name maybe our whole life long. Ah, then we feel something. Then something is taking place. Ah, we can sit here so dead. We can sit here so cold. And we can receive that word of God with our historical faith. And that is so good. Ah, that is so necessary, congregation. But, then to receive that message about that name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and then think of it, no feeling. That is deadness. That is deadness. All that, therefore we ask this from you. Not to tell us. Maybe someday you can tell us. But can you say it yourself? Can you say that between God and your soul? That you know something of gladness. When you may hear this name preached to you, that is so foreign to the world. That is so foreign to the natural man. But by that Spirit of the Lord, oh, a people are becoming so glad. Do you believe that, young people? Gladness. You like to be glad, children? Like to be happy? Yeah. Ah, there is only one gladness. One blessed happiness. That can be found in this sin-cursed world. And that is the gladness that our text is speaking about. and your soul may gladly receive that word of God. Oh, be baptized, Peter says, every one of you sinners who have crucified and who have slain the Messiah. Ah, he says, now wash yourself in the blood that he has given. In that muddy Jordan. Ah, he says, come now. Come now, you people. This is now the way. There's a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Do you hear that? To whom? To whom? Who has done this? And now a fountain that is open to this people. What is Peter saying here on the day of Pentecost? O congregation, he says, O people, he says there is no sinner, no sinner that is too great. That is Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost. There is no sinner that is too great. All repent. Neglect. Your neglect of him. Your rejecting of him. Oh, repent of that. Repent of that. And let that take place no longer. No, not for one moment longer. Oh, and now be baptized. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for a remission of sins. Oh, that name that is able to remit all of the iniquity of the chiefest of the sinners and to cast all that guilt and all that sin and all that pollution. Ah, it is able to cast it all away, all into that sea of everlasting forgetfulness. Do you know what Peter said one time to Christ? Ah, when he says, Peter, I would wash you. Ah, he said, no. He says, then you have no part with me. Ah, he says, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Ah, congregation, that is what he felt. That is what he felt. You didn't have to ask him just later, no. He didn't have to think about it. That was now living in him. And now Christ, he said, oh, Peter, he that is washed, he only needs to have his feet washed. Oh, congregation. If the people, oh, they may only see so wretched, so miserable, so impossible. One drop of their blood. And then we are clean. That is the truth. That is the truth. Oh, that the people who do cry out in their hearts from under it, may yet be glad with it. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. All they agreed. They submitted unto what? All they acquiesced unto that outward form. They were baptized. A congregation, even before they submitted to the outward form, they were already washed in their heart. That is the way it goes. That is the way it must go with that true church of God. That is as an adult. Ah, then it is first. Then they experience what that inward washing is. And then, ah, then they are welcome to receive also that outward form. Oh, now this people, they have been crucifiers of that Jesus of Nazareth. And what are they now? They are followers. They are followers. They are now united to him. Ah, he is everything for them now. By a true and living faith, all that people now begin to follow. And there are people here that understand it. That is not general anymore. No. Because the Lord has shown them that solution. And now they become a follower, not of God only, but also of his only begotten Son. That now congregation is the work of that Holy Spirit of the Lord. He does not speak about himself, no. Christ says he shall glorify me. Ah, and that is what he does. In the heart of every one of that people. Oh, we have all submitted, right? We have all submitted now to that external baptism. That is good. That is right. But do we now know this baptism in our soul? Oh, congregation, beseech, beseech, beseech the Lord for this. You know what he says? He will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. You hear who that is? The house of Israel. People who had sinned greater than every nation in this whole world. And he will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. And his promise is that he will increase them like a flock. Oh, the Lord make us and our children recipients thereof. Amen. Oh, Lord of heaven and of earth, there is no man that can give unto himself these true godly affections, sorrow in our heart, gladness in our heart. Lord, we come up, and some for so many years, and thou knowest in this afternoon how whether there is in the cry in the heart of some amongst us, a cry, oh Lord, when will it be that I may receive that sorrow, the true godly sorrow? When will it be that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy people? Lord, wilt thou hear them from heaven, thy dwelling place, when they are in their own inner chamber, where no one knows, and when their hearts are lifted up to thee, thou who dwellest on high, and who humblest thyself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth, look upon thy true church, thy people, bring us safely home. Forgive our many, many sins. Draw us unto thee undeservedly. Keep us in this week. Watch over all that go here and to there in traveling. Watch over the afflicted and the sick. For Jesus' sake, amen. 238. Zion, founded on the mountains, God thy maker loves thee well. He has chosen thee most precious. He delights in thee to dwell. God's own city, God's own city, who can all thy glory tell? 238, 1, 2, and 3. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.